Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is a great friend of mine and a guy who knows a lot about state government, the founder and publisher of Empire Report New York, an online aggregator for New York state political news. You can find out more at www.empirereportnewyork. That's one word, empirereportnewyork.com. J.P., John Paul Miller, was formerly Mitt Romney's New York, New Jersey, Connecticut finance director in both 2008-2012. Welcome our old friend, J.P. Miller.
Thanks a lot for having me, Alan.
Oh, we love having you here. Okay, so now there's a very interesting story which we've just come over, and it has to do with Representative Collins from out there in Niagara County. Is that where he
yes,
is?
Yes, out in Buffalo, yes.
Out in Buffalo, yeah. And apparently there's an accusation or there's some discussion about insider trading that he may do and that he may have bragged to people about it and that there is an investigation going on. Now, the subtext of all of this, then I'll shut up and let you talk. The subtext of all of this is that Mr. Collins is not the favorite of the Democrats in New York State. So you can be sure when you're on that particular list, if you've done something wrong or it appears to be wrong, the bloodhounds will be after you.
Correct. So Congressman Collins was the first member of Congress to endorse President Trump. He is the most outspoken and I would say most conservative member of the New York congressional delegation. And he happens to be involved with a pharmaceutical company where he owns a tremendous amount of stock. He, I believe, is also on the board. And it is a thinly traded stock. It's not like Aetna or Merck or Pfizer. This is a very thinly traded stock that benefits or has benefited from different things that Congress has done. Congressman Collins himself has said that he encouraged a lot of people in the Buffalo area to invest in this stock. He also encouraged, I believe, other members of Congress to invest in this stock. And this is something where, you know, presidents and elected officials in most cases try to recuse themselves or try to put their assets in a blind trust. And this is a very specific stock that he's involved in. And the House Ethics Committee,
of course, run by the Republicans,
which is run by the Republicans, has now made this more than an inquiry. This is now a deeper investigation. The Ethics Committee says that they do this in less than 40% of the things that they look at. So this is a minority of the cases that they look at.
They don't have a great reputation for having done a lot.
Correct. And the fact that it's being run by Republicans means that this is a very serious matter. Of course, Congressman Collins' spokesman says this is a witch hunt, which of course is what he's supposed to say. But this is a developing story. Jerry Zrimsky at the Buffalo News wrote a great piece about it. And time will tell how exactly this will unfold for Congressman Collins and this company. And by the way, this company, he was bragging to people how much money he made, everybody. And this stock tanked. I mean, it lost 80 or 90% about a month ago.
Based on the investigation, you think?
Not based on the investigation, based on a trial that went south that where what they're trying to do, I believe, I may have the details wrong, approved by the FDA or something like that, but it lost 80 or 90% of its value over a course of a couple of days.
Now, the subtext here gets even more interesting because who did Representative Collins beat in order to get that seat? Wasn't it Kathy Hochul?
Kathy Hochul is in Congressman Collins' district, and there is a lot of rumors. People are trying to get Kathy Hochul to run against Congressman Collins.
But she's lieutenant governor.
He is the congressman. She does not want to run against him. And Congressman Collins is one of the three or four congresspersons in New York that Governor Cuomo is specifically targeting to take out in 2018.
That's right, JP.
He has put a bullseye on a few of them. And a lot of people have questioned Governor Cuomo as to why would you target Collins because he has a very conservative district. Why don't you try and go for the more moderate members like Katko, who has a swing district? And for some reason, Governor Cuomo has a real bee in his bonnet about taking out Congressman Collins.
Well, now we know that reason because Congressman Collins and Representative John Faso in the 19th district really piqued Governor Cuomo's anger when it came to saying, okay, the counties will not have to pay the Medicaid bill anymore. It'll go directly to the state. And of course, that busts Cuomo's budget, and he will not forget it. Look, Andrew Cuomo is not a guy who plays well in the sandbox with anyone, even the nice ones, even the ones who supposedly are his allies. But when you get an enemy, whoa.
Yes, and it will be really interesting to see how this ethics investigation plays out, and will this lead to really strong negative ads for whoever Congressman Collins' opponent is? I believe that the Democrats have not yet recruited a really strong candidate to run against him. Kathy Hochul has said repeatedly that she does not want to run against him.
Well, she's lieutenant governor. If Andrew runs for president and he wins, then she becomes the governor.
Yes. So Collins, the Democrats need to recruit a strong challenger to Collins if he's going to be really viewed as vulnerable, which as of right now, he is not viewed as vulnerable.
Okay. You know, that's a very interesting point. Because John Faso, who voted, and I'm going to use quotation marks here, wrong on the health care bill revision, he voted in a way a lot of people in his district didn't like. People smell the blood in the water. They're lining up. And as of this taping, there are six of them, six people. Now, the problem is they are all what I call whohees, whohees. That's W-H-O hyphen H-E. Maybe apostrophe as whohees. And I'll get six letters from interested English majors in what I just did there. Whohees, and they're going to say, well, if you can't beat somebody with no one. Now, there are exceptions to that. George Pataki was a whohee, and he beat Mario Cuomo. But he'd been there for four, or he was going to be there for four terms, and that's what that was all about, and it was a Republican year. But if the Democrats can't do a good job of finding somebody with a name who can run against these people, they can't win.
They definitely need a strong candidate, and I think having six people in the primary will help them have the cream rise to the top, so to speak, and have a strong candidate against him. The other thing that the Democrats will have in their favor against John Faso is they will have a lot of national money trying to tie him to Trump. And the fact that he did go out so far on the Medicaid Trump care bill, he wrote a op-ed, I believe, in the New York Daily News about it. He really went out there on it and owned it. And so that could prove to make him more vulnerable. I would say if you look at Faso and Collins, Faso's is definitely the more vulnerable of the two incumbent Republicans between the two of them.
And Ms. Stefanik up in the North Country, congratulations to her on her recent wedding. Ms. Stefanik has a lot of people lining up to run against her, too. So a lot of these people are going to have a lot of opposition. You know, the county leaders, the county Democratic chairs, got together and they agreed that Zephyr Teachout was the person to run against Faso. And yet, when Faso debated her, and the first debate was right here at this public radio station, he wiped up the floor with her. He really did. And I don't think there was anybody on either side who didn't think so. So you got to be very careful about who you put into those spots.
You do. And candidate selection is a big key as to whether they're going to win or not. And I was surprised. I thought Zephyr Teachout was an effective politician, an effective spokesperson for her beliefs. And I was surprised by how well Faso did. It was quite a demonstrable win for him.
Well, you say how well he did, but how about how badly she did?
She did poorly, but she, I would say this year, hopefully, if they can, well, hopefully for the Democrats, if they can get a candidate as good as Zephyr, it will likely be a much different turnout. I think there will be higher turnout this year among Democrats than there were in 2016. They are, the base of the Democrat Party is excited and revved up to try to throw out the people that support President Trump. It is really going to be an election against Donald Trump,
not an
election against Stefanik Faso Collins.
Well, that may be. That may be. Let me move on to, of all places, Syracuse. Two things are happening in Syracuse. The first is that a very popular and wonderful mayor of Syracuse, Stephanie Miner, is being proposed for everything, including running in a primary against Andrew Cuomo. It doesn't look like that's going to happen, but she's not letting it go away. I mean, you know, she encourages a certain amount of that. This woman has guts. She really does, and she's terrific. We've had her here. But the other guy who's there is DeFrancisco, and he's a senator, and there's a question as to whether he will run against Andrew. What's that about? Well, he can't beat Andrew. He's a conservative, Trumpian type guy who can't beat Andrew. And I'm sure the Democrats are at the side of their beds with their hands pointed up in the air in a prayer-like fashion saying, please let it be him rather than a moderate like Astorino from, you know, the county exec from down there in Westchester or one of these other guys. But he's making a name for himself and he's going around and doing that. Now, Miner, interesting, Stephanie Miner, there's a question of whether they can get her to run for Congress in that district. And if she does, my bet is she wins.
Well, there is a lot of palace intrigue going on in Syracuse. You're right, Alan. So one, on DeFran, who I'm a fan of Senator DeFrancisco, I think it's going to be hard for him to be the Republican nominee against Andrew Cuomo when he went and has voted for all of his budgets over the last number of years. Yeah. How do you run against a guy where you have really helped enable his agenda over the last number of years? I think that's a big challenge for DeFrancisco. On Stephanie Miner, she is a very popular mayor of Syracuse. She is also a pretty out and avowed enemy of Andrew Cuomo. And so Andrew Cuomo does not want her, in my opinion, to be elected as congressman.
Although he'll take credit for it if she is, because he'll say that's my work trying to get Democrats elected to Congress.
Well, in Syracuse specifically, there's a lot of palace intrigue because so here you have a Democrat mayor in Stephanie Miner who is kind of enemies with Cuomo, and then you have the county executive, a woman named Joni Mahoney, who's a Republican.
My favorite name in all organized politics is Joni Mahoney.
So there's Joni Mahoney, and she is a Republican, but she is friends with Andrew Cuomo. And so
he has a lot of Republican friends. It's one of the things that has a lot of liberal Democrats very upset with Andrew.
Right. So there is all this palace intrigue around DeFrancisco, Miner, Cuomo, Joni Mahoney in Syracuse.
Say it again one more time.
Where
Joni Mahoney. Joni Mahoney.
Joni Mahoney, where there are different factions in the Democrat and Republican parties who are rooting for different people. The other thing about John Katko is John Katko is a very moderate Republican. He did not want to vote for President Trump's health care bill, and he has been a bit of a thorn in the side of President Trump. And so some people have raised the question as to, does he have a strong base? Is he going to be able to, or are the Republicans going to say, you know what, let's let him lose and get a Democrat in here so we can try and get a real Republican in next time?
That's a sort of interesting intellectual process, isn't it?
Well,
let's lose so we can get a real, yeah, right. Well, we know one thing, and that is that incumbents keep on winning once they're somewhere. So the idea of saying, okay, well, let's let the Democrat win, yeah, and talk to me, you know, in 3,000, she'll still be there.
Well, if you have someone who's viewed Stephanie Miner as a moderate, and you have someone like Katko, who is also viewed like a moderate, and who a lot of people in Syracuse, in that part of the state of New York, a big portion of the district is rural, and those Republicans there are Trump Republicans.
And they hate the SAFE bill, the governor's SAFE bill. You can't go anywhere in upstate New York. I was just at the Polish Sportsman's Club at a 55th reunion for my wife from high school, and they're plastered all over the place. Repeal the SAFE Act, repeal the SAFE Act. So there's something to that, even though I happen to think it was the best thing Andrew ever did.
Right. And so among those people, if you're viewed as a moderate Republican, I think that's a problem politically. And in a year where 2018 is going to be a very close election for a lot of these Congress people, a few points one way or the other, having extra turnout on the Democrat side, which I think there will be with the unpopularity of President Trump, and maybe some suppressed turnout on the Republican side, could turn to problems for Congressman Katko.
Now, my wife and I hate to get you into the marital difficulties in my house, but my wife and I have major disagreement about how to go when we go quite frequently to New York. I believe in driving in and with the dog, Murray the dog and Roselle and whatever else. She believes in taking the train. And now there's this whole question of congestion pricing. And the governor is for it now. And that means that you charge people to bring their cars into Manhattan. You put prices on the bridges that were free. And you have electronic stuff, which we all know is the new thing. Toll takers are becoming a thing of the past. And you go under a thing and it charges you money. So can you give us an idea about what's going on there?
Well, I frequently travel from upstate to New York City. I do it about once a week, and there is a lot of congestion going in and out of New York City. And congestion pricing, I think, was something that was first pumped by Mayor Bloomberg. And the controversial thing here about congestion pricing now is, I don't know if you've gone on the Mass Pike and gotten one of those bills in the mail from the cashless tolls.
Well, I've gone on the Mass Pike because I live in Massachusetts.
Right.
And I haven't ever gotten anything.
Well, you have an easy pass.
Because I have an easy pass.
If you don't have an easy pass, you get a bill in the mail,
well,
say for $1.90. But all of a sudden, will these people know that they're going to get charged $5 or $10 for congestion pricing?
They'll know it fast enough.
They will. I think congestion pricing, any toll, is unpopular. I saw Governor Cuomo was interviewed by Nora O'Donnell about the Mario Cuomo Bridge that just went in. She said, "Governor, are you going to increase tolls?" And he kind of deflected. He said, "Well, we're
he
not
going to
increase."
He said, "Humma, humma, humma, humma."
Yes, he said, "Humma, humma, humma until 2020. And so tolls is a particularly painful thing for politicians that have to implement. But
in all of this, so Cuomo likes congestion pricing to keep the cars out of Manhattan. And now de Blasio says, nah, just tax the rich.
Yeah.
That's how to pay for all of it.
If I was a Democrat, I would say tax the rich would be a much better policy than tolls, because everybody has to pay tolls. It's an annoying thing. And it's something that I wouldn't, if I was a politician, I wouldn't want to be thought of as the toll taker, congestion pricer. I would much rather, being a politician, I would much rather say tax the rich. I may not think it's a great policy, but from a political standpoint, that's a much better position to be in de Blasio's position.
You know, it's so interesting. New York City has an income tax. And there are many people who don't want to pay that. I think it's 8%, something like that. It's a lot of money. And they don't want to pay that. So they go to Florida. And the law is you have to stay in Florida and then you have to prove it. You keep a diary or whatever else, one day more than half the year. And there are these people who are very serious about keeping these logs and everything else so they don't have to pay that.
I know a lot of those people, and those people, I've never seen people so serious about saying that I'm going to be in Florida. And they don't just stay in Florida for an extra day. They do an extra week.
Just to be sure.
Just to be sure, because for people that make a lot of money, you know, tens of millions of dollars a year, it's a lot of money for them, and they don't want to pay the taxes.
Yeah, but that's not a good spirit for New York, is it?
Well, I don't know anybody that out of spirit wants to pay millions of dollars to the government when they see how the government spends money. And I have to mention a little bit, I hate to take our state conversation to Trump, but this Tappan Zee Bridge, the Mario Cuomo Bridge was built. It's going to cost $4 billion. And the governor hasn't told everybody how he's going to pay for it.
Chump change.
And so Trump wants to build a wall, $4 billion, and doesn't know how to pay for it, and everybody criticizes him. So I feel like maybe there's a little bit of selective criticism on the part of the media on the bridge and the wall.
Let's go to statues.
Okay.
Now, you know, I grew up in Manhattan. I grew up in walking distance of Columbus Circle. I used to walk down Columbus Avenue to Columbus Circle, and now there are those people who say, okay, if you're going to take down Robert E. Lee's statues, then take down Columbus's statue on the top of Columbus Circle, because after all, you know, he led the charge on what happened to the American Indians. You can't debate that. I mean, there's no question that that's so. But the Italian-American community in New York, among large part, are insulted by that. After all, there is something called the Columbus Day Parade and everything else. Meantime, back at the ranch, Andrew Cuomo has said, got to take down Lee Street and another street in the military facility that is in New York, and getting plaudits for that. How can you say Robert E. Lee, who really tried to get the Confederates to continue slavery, should be honored? Columbus, different story. What do you think?
It's a very tough issue for Andrew Cuomo and Bill de Blasio to be grappling with, because while their progressive instincts might tell them that, yes, we should take down the Columbus statue and rename Columbus Avenue and all that, it is a really tough issue, I think, for the majority of voters to see these statues taken down and to sanitize what we have in our public squares. And so I think it's a really tough issue. You've seen de Blasio has now stepped back significantly from him saying originally maybe we'll take down Columbus. Now maybe they're thinking about putting plaques kind of explaining the positives and negatives of Christopher Columbus.
Yeah. We've been talking to J.P. Miller, the founder and publisher of Empire Report, an online aggregator for New York State political news. You can find out more about this at www.empirereportnewyork. That's one word, empirereportnewyork.com. Okay, but let me just say, I'm positing that Trump, who you didn't want to bring into this statewide conversation, has basically sucked the air out of political discourse in New York. Nobody wants to talk about anything, JP, because Trump is the first thing out of everybody's mouth. So has that made what has always been problematic, people paying any attention to state news, and you cover all that state news on your wonderful report, has that made it even more difficult to get people to concentrate?
Well, I think it actually presents an opportunity. On my report, we try not cover Trump too much because there's Trump everywhere. Everywhere you turn, there's news on Trump. And so the state news, this investigation into Congressman Collins is fascinating. Yesterday, we had a story on the Times from the Times Union about Andrew Cuomo taking $400,000 in contributions from a healthcare company that increased their Obamacare premiums by 80% and also got a $25 million grant. So there is a lot of stuff happening in the state. You just have to look for it. And Trump and Hillary, both being from New York, provided a boon for our media in the fact that they're both from the New York area. But I think that there is still a lot of interesting stuff happening in the state. Every day, we have such a vibrant state from Rochester and Buffalo all the way down to the east end of Long Island, New York City, a number of big cities. I'm really excited about the news cycle, but it's certainly tough to compete with Trump.
I only got a minute, but I wanted to go to another place just for a second. When I go to your excellent Empire Report, and sometimes it's empirereportnewyork.com, when I go there, quite frequently, somebody says to me, well, the Times Union, for example, you've had your freebies on the Times Union, even though I have a subscription, an online subscription to the Times Union, and that ticks me off. There's a way to get around that, isn't there?
There is a way to get around it, and the Times Union, I believe, has lifted their paywall. They lifted their paywall recently.
No, I got it this morning.
You got it this morning?
Yes.
Well, yeah. Thank you for telling me. I will correct it, and there is a way to get around it. I won't broadcast the way to get around it.
But you explain that, don't you, on your page?
Yes, there is a way to get around it by clearing your cookies, but you want to make it as easy for the users as possible. I also was able to get around the Wall Street Journal paywall for a number of months, and they now have shut us down on that. So we are trying to get people their news in a free manner while also encouraging our readers. If you love the Times Union, which is, they're such a great paper and a historic paper,
right?
You should do what Alan does and subscribe and
New York Times.
Subscribe to the New York Times, subscribe to all these great institutions and newspapers because they have to pay reporters, they have to pay staff.
And you don't.
And I don't.
It's been a wonderful conversation with our very good friend, J.P. Miller. We are out of time. The founder and publisher of Empire Report New York is J.P. Miller. It's an online aggregator for New York State political news. You go there and you don't have to do anything else. You know, you're going to get it all. You can find out more at www.empirereportnewyork.com. Again, empirereportnewyork.com. That is one word. Thanks so much for joining us. This is Alan Chartok. Thank you so much, JP, for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Alan.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.